Today's scripture reading is a reading that some of us think we know better than anyone other in the Bible. It's so well known and so popular that people both inside and outside of the Christian faith can retell the story. The parable I'm talking about, of course, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan has become a model for many people about what it means to be a helpful and kind person. Many charities throughout history have included the name Samaritan. Even a hospital I once worked at as a chaplain was known as Good Samaritan Hospital. But after further research and study of the scripture reading this past week, I realized that there's a certain aspect to the scripture reading that we may not know as well as we should. An aspect of the scripture reading that illuminates what it truly means to be a kind and compassionate person. Our scripture reading today begins with a lawyer, a man who knows the Bible backwards and forwards. This man has spent his life studying the scripture readings, and he's quite proud of his knowledge of the scripture. Wherever he goes, he finds that he knows the Bible almost better than anyone else. Well, all of a sudden he hears of Jesus, that Jesus is a new authority over the scriptures, and that Jesus is wiser than any other teacher who has ever taught the laws of the Bible. And so this lawyer, this man, goes to test Jesus. We might see this as being an old Western where the old gunslinger goes up against the new gunslinger to see who is really the best in the West. But of course, this isn't a competition with weapons, but instead is a competition over the scripture reading. But the lawyer goes up to Jesus and sort of wants to maybe trap him a little bit or sort of catch him in a misunderstanding of the scripture reading. So he tries to feign ignorance that he doesn't really know what the law says when really he does, and he's just trying to catch Jesus in a mistake. He begins by asking Jesus the question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds to him, "What's written in the law? What do you read in the Bible?" Meaning, how do you understand the scriptures? And the man answers with what is known as the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you got it. You already understand it. What are you asking me for? But the man, now wanting to catch Jesus, asks him what he presumes to be a tricky question, and who is my neighbor? You see, the man was well aware of a scripture reading in the book of Leviticus, where it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Notice what the scripture says. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. Meaning, for this man who has lived in the Jewish tradition most of his life, he believes that loving your neighbor means loving those who are among your designated group of people. In this case, other Jews. That he has a responsibility to love other Jewish people. Outside of that, well, there is no responsibility there. And Jesus, well, Jesus has not just been loving and teaching Jewish people, but he's been teaching all sorts of people. The scripture uses the word Gentile, which simply means those who are not Jewish. He's welcoming them into the faith. He's teaching them and saying they can be a part of God's kingdom as well. And so he's trying to expose a flaw in Jesus' understanding of the scriptures that to love people outside of your own community, outside of your own religious group, is not required. Jesus is aware of this and then tells a story which completely changes the man's understanding and our understanding of who we are truly responsible to. In the scripture reading, Jesus tells the story of a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And there's still this road there today. It was a very dangerous road in Jesus' day, and we don't know anything about this man. We don't know if he's Jewish, we don't know if he's a Samaritan, a Gentile, or anything. We just know he's a man going down the road. And as he's going down this dangerous road, he gets robbed by thieves, and they beat him up and throw him in a ditch and leave him for dead. Well, as he's lying there, clinging on to his life, three people come by. The first person that comes by is a priest, so someone who is a Jewish leader or a teacher, a word we would use today is a pastor or a reverend of some kind. And he sees this man and he passes by him. Now, we don't know why he passes by him. Maybe he was in a hurry. Maybe he didn't want to touch this man. Maybe he thought it was some kind of trap. We don't know. All we know is he ignored the man and went on his way. The second man that comes by also passes him, and the scripture tells us that this man is a Levite. Now, when Israel, God's kingdom, was originally founded, it was founded by Jacob, who had 12 sons, and these became the 12 tribes of Israel. Each of his sons became a leader of a different tribe, and one of his sons was named a Levite. And so this Levite, the scripture says, is one of the people that can trace his lineage all the way back to the original foundation of Israel. So the first one was a person who was very religiously important. The second person was someone who was very ethnically important in the Jewish people's eyes. Two people that should have been the heroes of the story. Two people that if a traditional Jew was telling the story, they would have been the one who saves the man. But Jesus doesn't do this. He uses these two people to demonstrate something that where you come from or who you belong to does not necessarily make you a compassionate person. The third person, we're told, that comes along helps the man. He bandages up his wounds and takes him to a hotel. Back then, they didn't have any hospitals, so if someone needed to rest and recover, they could do so in a hotel, and pays the innkeeper whatever he needs to stay there as long as he can. And if he outstays his money, this person will come back and pay all the rest of his expenses. Now, who is this person? The scripture tells us this is a Samaritan. Most people end the scripture reading here. Most people look at the scripture reading and say, that's great. A Samaritan helps someone. I'm not really sure what a Samaritan is, but I know that the Samaritan was the good person in the scripture reading. I should be like the Samaritan and help people. But there's more to the story. You see, in Jesus' day, Jewish people despised Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They did not get interact with each other, and they most certainly did not help each other. And yet Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. He then asked the lawyer a question. Which one was a neighbor to the other person? And he says the Samaritan. Jesus then says, go and do likewise. Jesus challenges and overturns the idea that who we are responsible to is limited to a certain group, to a certain number of people. You see, it's easy in our daily lives to sort of put blinders on, to sort of simply think that these are my responsibilities, these are the people I'm responsible to, whether it's our family, our friends, or coworkers, and to not see the great needs that exist outside of us. But if we open our eyes, we can see that God is constantly putting people in our path that need our help, that we could be a blessing to, with sometimes little or no effort. This past summer, I was doing some yard work. You see, the previous winter had been so cold that some of my bushes, my hedges, if you will, did not produce any leaves. And I thought that these bushes were totally dead. But someone who knows way more about landscaping than me told me that those aren't dead. In fact, it's only the branches that are dead. The roots are actually very, very strong and healthy. And if you cut these bushes down to the ground, they'll regrow healthy and strong. I thought, great, that's awesome. I don't have to pull them out, I just have to trim them back. Well, I have a pretty simple hedge trimmer, and that was able to get most of the branches down, but there were some branches that were pretty big that my hedge trimmer wouldn't handle. And so I went into my garage, and I began to look for some type of saw. And all I could find was an old, rusty saw that was very dull that the person who owned the house before me had left behind. And so I immediately went to work sawing, and grunting away, trying to cut these branches down, and slowly I was making progress, but I really wasn't getting anywhere. And I had my headphones on, and I was listening to music pretty loud, and all of a sudden I sort of sensed someone behind me. And so I turned around and I was a bit surprised, and I saw my neighbor there standing with a saw, with a big smile on his face, and asking me if I'd like to use his much superior saw instead. Of course, I was thankful to do it. Now, why do I share this story with you? I share this story with you because my neighbor was able to look beyond his own needs, beyond his own sort of responsibilities he had for that day, and keep his eyes open for someone who might need help outside of who he thought he was responsible for. My neighbor could have looked out the window that day and saw me working and thought, well, you know, he's probably doing okay. It's going slow, but, you know, he'll get it done eventually. He's young and healthy. Or he could have looked out and said, you know what, I'm really busy. I gotta go. I have this and this to do. But he realized just by taking a couple minutes, he could really help me out in a huge way. And he had no obligation or expectation to do so. See, the story of the Good Samaritan teaches us that God puts people in our path all the time that we did not necessarily think we were responsible for helping. But we can help all the same. Now, I want to make a very important point. This idea should not mean that you feel guilty about not being able to help everyone. You know, we are not able, or we are not called to be all things to all people. That's God's job. But it does mean that sometimes we can develop a greater awareness of who or what we are responsible to. That there are people all the time that are being placed in our lives that we can give our time, we can give our resources to, and be a blessing to. And sometimes it doesn't take that much effort at all. I mentioned before in a previous week about a very exciting new ministry here at Grace that we're starting up, and that's a partnership with the Spring Grove Food Pantry. And our first volunteer month will be in May. And people will have the opportunity to give an afternoon here or give an afternoon there to feed someone in need. See, by stepping outside our comfort zones, our responsibility zones, if we will, we can truly embrace what it means to be a Good Samaritan. We can understand that our neighbor is not simply someone who lives next to us or someone who's a family member or a friend, but a neighbor is anyone in need. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this scripture reading and this opportunity to remember what it means to be a neighbor, that all people are your children and you look down on everyone with love and compassion. Help us do the same. Help us feel compelled to not simply help those who are in our circles of awareness, but make us aware to the greater needs you place around us. And as we can, help us be a blessing to other people. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.